Excellent. Well, good afternoon and welcome. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris. I'm lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. We just want to welcome you here today, as well as those of you who are joining us on Facebook Live or live stream. Today, we're kicking off a brand new conversation called Win. And my whole life, I wanted to be in the Hall of Fame. It really didn't even matter which Hall of Fame it was. Whatever it was I did, I wanted to be the best. I wanted to win. And I know some of you, you come from the school of, hey, it's not about winning, it's about having fun. It's just because you never won. So I wanted to win, and I wanted to win big. I wanted to be the greatest at whatever it was that I did. And I don't think I'm alone on this. I think there's something inside of us where we want to win. We want to win. And there's a reason why that song is so popular. It's not just the music. There's a reason why many of you worked out to that song this week. There's something inside of us. We want to win. We want to be the greatest. Now, unfortunately for me, the only Hall of Fame that I ever made it into was the Marcellus, Michigan High School Hall of Fame. Not many people visit that Hall of Fame. No, it is not worth cheering about in any way, shape, or form. But I think there's something inside of us. We want to win. And then you come to this area of the country. And many of us came to this area of the country. Why? Because we want to win. And we didn't just want to be great. We wanted to be the greatest in the greatest city in the world. Because if you can make it here, you can make it
anywhere.
Exactly. Why do we know that? Because we want to be the greatest. And we want to win. We want to be the best. And we may not say it out loud, but there's something inside of us. We want to win. But then you walk into church. You walk into church and you start hearing them talk about you need to lay down your life for someone else. And then they start talking about submission. And then they start talking about living for someone else's dreams. And you hear all this. And if you've been with us for the last couple of months here at Hoboken Grace, you've heard all that, this idea you need to die to yourself. You hear these things, and you can begin to believe that to follow Jesus is to give up on winning. You can begin to believe that to follow Jesus is to give up on winning. That if you're going to follow Jesus, you got to get rid of that desire that you have to win, that desire to be great, that desire to be the best. That if you're going to follow Jesus, you got to get rid of that. And it can begin to develop within us. And this is my fear, because we've been having a lot of these conversations about submission and dying to yourself and living for other people. You can begin to believe and you can begin to develop. My fear is that some of you are developing a mindset of defeat. You can begin to develop a mindset that says, okay, this isn't about winning, that God isn't about winning, and you can begin to develop a defeatist mindset. And I think that is exactly the opposite of what Christ wants to happen in your life. But I think sometimes because of the fact that we misunderstand the strategy of winning, because we misunderstand Christ's strategy of winning, we think that he's not about winning. And so as we walk through this summer, I want to take you to a passage, and we are going to break this thing down as we walk through the summer. I want to take you to a passage where he's calling us, I believe, to have the mindset of victory. It's found in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul's coming to the end of his book to Ephesus. And as he's coming to the end of it, he says, listen, I got one final thing for you. And really in this one final thing, he's wrapping up everything that he's been talking to. He says, okay, let me break it down for you. Here's kind of the takeaway of everything I've said up to this point. Here's one final word. And listen to what he says, Ephesians chapter 6. Beginning in verse 10, it says this. It says, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He says, one final thing. Let me just wrap this up for you. Walk away with this. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Now let me ask you something. If I were to ask you to describe your life, is that how you describe it? How do you live your life? I live my life strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. If I were to even ask you to describe what the journey with Christ is about, is that how you describe it? It's about being strong in the Lord and his mighty power. You see, I think sometimes it happens without us even knowing. Sometimes it happens without us even knowing where we begin to believe, oh, no, being on the journey with Christ, it's not about winning. And kind of by default, we begin to settle into kind of this defeatist mentality. And we think that if we're going to be on this journey with Christ, we got to get rid of that thing inside of us that wants to win. But then Paul steps in and he's talking to Ephesus. He says, listen, I want for you, he says, this is the mindset I want for you to have. This is how I want you to attack this journey. This is how I want for you to approach your future. I want for you to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He said, I don't want you to have the mindset of defeat. I want for you to have the mindset of strength. And then listen to how he continues. He says, put on all the armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in dark places, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. He says, I want you to be strong in the Lord. And then he says, so that you can stand firm. Now, again, when you read this without reading the rest of the book, this can sound passive. Because stand firm, doesn't that sound kind of passive? You're just staying where you are. It can sound like you're just making sure that you don't lose more. And your understanding of this passage has everything to do with where you think you're standing. Your understanding of this passage has everything to do with where you think you're standing. Because if you think that you're standing in a place of defeat, standing firm is just settling. So you need to understand the context of the book of Ephesians, because throughout the book of Ephesians, from the very beginning, he's been talking about one thing. Now, let me take you back to chapter 1. He's starting off this conversation that he ends with Ephesians 6. In chapter 1, he says this. He says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. He says, I don't just want for you to understand God's power. I want you to understand God's power for you. I don't just want for you to understand how God won. I want for you to understand how God's power allows you to win. I want you to understand God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. This is important in understanding Ephesians 6, because in Ephesians 6, as we just read, he says, listen, we fight against these authorities and these unseen powers. But earlier in the book, this is important, because in Ephesians 6, he's not saying that you need to be scared of them, because in Ephesians 1, he's already said Christ has defeated them. He's already established that. And as he starts this off in chapter 1, he's saying, listen, I want for you to understand God's incredible power for you, the same power that allowed Jesus to win. And this is important as well, because I think for some of us, because of how Jesus lives his life and because of Jesus' strategy of winning, we think that Jesus wasn't about winning. Because of the fact that Jesus lays down his life, that he willingly lays down his life, and you see things like turn the other cheek, and that you think, oh, well, Jesus wasn't about winning. And the reality is when you look at the cross, it doesn't look like he's about winning. But what is he doing in that moment? He's winning. And his mindset through the entire process is one thing. I'm going to win. And I'm going to defeat sin and death. I'm going to win. But because of the fact that his strategy isn't necessarily the strategy that we would take to win, or that we think would lead to winning, we think that he's not about winning. Make no mistake about it, from the very beginning, Jesus came to do one thing. He came to win. And they looked at him on that cross and they said, "You've lost." But in that very moment, he was undermining sin and death, and he led the captives free from hell and said, "I win." We misunderstand that. We can begin to believe that this journey is about leaving that side of you behind. But in Ephesians, he's saying, No. Listen. Jesus came to win, and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, and I love it because in Romans he says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside you. Here in Ephesus he says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead and placed him at the right hand of the Father, and he's talking about the champion's seat, right? He's talking about the winner's seat. He's saying the same power that allowed him to win like that is the power of God in you. He said, you need to start thinking like a winner. And throughout the entire book, he's talking about how Jesus has won for them. That influences big time how we see Ephesians chapter 6. Because when he says stand firm, it's important that you know where you're standing. How many of you growing up played King of the Hill?
Yeah.
Four of you. We should do that next week after the service. Because you need to experience King of the Hill. It is an important game in the development of every child. You need to experience this. And the great thing about King of the Hill is that you can play it basically anywhere. You just need a surface that is 1 inch higher than anything else around it. That's all you need. The game is very simple. Someone steps up on something that is taller than the surrounding area and declares, "I'm King of the Hill." Now, I grew up on a farm, so the place that we used to do this more than anything else is we used to have these massive, they're called round bales. They're massive hay bales. They're about 5 feet tall right around in here. And what we used to do is that myself or one of my cousins, you climb up on top of this round bale, which isn't super easy to stand on in general, but you climb up on top of it and you declare, "I'm King of the Hill." And then the rest of us, and I'm sorry, I just don't know any other way to say this, the rest of us would unleash hell on that person. And do everything that we could to rip them off of that hay bale and establish ourselves as King of the Hill. And there were some pretty intense King of the Hill moments growing up. And there were some broken bones at times. And it got pretty crazy as we played this game. But what Paul is trying to help you understand in Ephesians 6, because if you don't understand where you stand, you won't understand what he's saying. If you don't understand where you stand, you may think that he's saying, just be content with where you are. You may think that he's saying, hey, listen, you don't need to worry about winning. Just don't lose anymore. You may think that he's telling you to settle. But when you understand the book of Ephesians, what he's saying is this: you got the hill, don't give it up. He's saying Christ has won the victory for you. You have the power to conquer sin and death just like Christ did. Don't give up the hill. This is very important in your understanding of scriptures because you need to understand this as you're reading through it, or you might misunderstand what the writers are saying. The scriptures don't teach you that you need to win the victory. The scriptures teach you that Christ has won the victory, so stop giving sin power where it doesn't have any. And that's exactly what Ephesians is saying. He's saying, listen, you need to hold the hill. You need to stand firm. And even that entire idea throughout the scriptures is not passive. It's actually the method of victory. When you look at what it says in the book of James, you see this. It says, so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, stand firm, and he will flee from you. They're talking about how you win. He's saying, you got to understand, you have the hill. Don't give up the hill. And the entire conversation, he's calling them to a mindset of victory. He's saying, it's time to win. And throughout the book, he's calling them to win. He's saying, you need to win. Now, if you get the chance to read through the book this week, I highly encourage you to do that. We're going to spend a lot of time in it over the next couple months here. And as he's writing to them, there's a lot of places in their life where they have begun to lose. and they're accepting things in their life that they got to get rid of. And he's saying, listen, you have to change your mentality and stop just accepting defeat. And I think for a lot of us, we do that. We just begin to settle in and we say things like, well, hey, listen, we're not going to be perfect until we get to heaven, or hey, we're always going to struggle. And I'll be talking with people about what they're struggling with, and they'll say that to me. They'll say, well, you know, I mean, we're always going to struggle. And it's just this defeatist mentality. And in the scriptures, we're called to have the mindset of Christ. Let me tell you something. Defeat has nothing, has no place in the mindset of Christ. Has no place in the mindset of Christ. Do not think when you step into that defeatist mentality that always just is what it is. It's always going to be. That is not becoming like Christ. That is not the mindset of Christ. The mindset of Christ is victory. And he's stepping in and saying, you got to shift the way that you're thinking about this. You got to shift that mindset. Because it's time to win. But we begin to allow ourselves to develop this wrong mindset. And then we misunderstand the fight. We misunderstand what the fight is. Again, going back to Ephesians 6, he says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. He says, you guys, you have to get this mindset. You have to get the mindset of Christ. Understand the Lord's power in your life. He says, you have to get the mindset. He said, then you also have to understand what it is that we're fighting. And we don't fight people. We don't fight people. We fight for people. We don't win over people. We win for people. But the problem is we don't know what to do with this thing inside of us that wants to win, and so we're constantly directing it towards other people as opposed to understanding that, no, we don't win over them, we win with them. I used to, growing up, I was a little bit older when the whole skateboard scene really exploded and the whole X Games scene really took off, but I remember watching it, and at first watching it, I used to hate the X Games, the whole skateboard scene, because of the fact that they all cheer for each other. You ever notice that? They all cheer for each other. That's not the world I grew up in. I grew up in the world of Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, where you despise the person that you're competing against. You despise it. But then these guys, they're competing against one another, and the guy beats them, and he gives them a high five. I'm like, you're just pathetic. What is wrong with you? Why would you do that? And at first, I really struggled with it, but the more that I look at what God's calling us to, the more that I think that really captures it. It's a, we win together, we get better together. And it's not us against them, it's not me against him, it's us together against those things that would destroy us. And I know some of you are here and you say, well, Chris, life isn't a competition. You're right, life isn't a competition, life's a war. It's a war. Some of you are very aware of that right now because you find yourself in the midst of intense battles. You're trying to fight depression. You're trying to fight anxiety. You're trying to fight sorrow in your life. You're trying to fight. Life is a war. And when you step into a relationship with Jesus, Jesus doesn't take you out of the war. Because there's still more people to be won. He doesn't take us out of the war. He says, let me teach you what it's like to be like me. That means you learn what it is to fight for people. It doesn't take us out of the war. It's a war, but we don't fight against people. We fight for people. Our culture has bought in 100% into the us against them mentality. You see it everywhere. People are just trying to destroy people. And we bought into this idea that we can win by destroying someone else. And God's trying to teach us, no, that's not how you win. You don't defeat racism by destroying the racist. You defeat racism by destroying the lie of racism that's ruining the life of the racist. I had a conversation with one of my staff members about this a little while ago. They were really frustrated about our city, and specifically frustrated that the people of our city didn't seem to care about those who are in need in our city. And they were talking to me about it, and they were talking about how they wanted to go and to go online and to post this thing, and they wanted to communicate how ridiculous it is that our city doesn't care more about these people. And I said to them, I said, listen, your strategy is a flawed strategy. He said, what do you mean? I said, you're going to go out and you're going to try to attack and destroy the people that you need to win in order to win this battle. We don't fight against people. We fight for people and against the lies that rob us of the life that God intended for us to live. You realize that strategy's never worked, right? Our culture's trying it every chance it gets. That strategy's never worked. No one that I know of, maybe it has happened once or twice, but look, no one that I know of has ever said, hey, listen, you've attacked me enough. You've ridiculed me enough. You've publicly shamed me enough. You've disgraced me enough. I agree with you. That doesn't happen. But we keep believing and buying into the idea that we fight against one another. The second half of Ephesians is all about unity. It's all about unity. And he's saying, you don't win when you leave them behind. It's all about unity. He's saying, you don't get to win as an individual. No. This is a team sport. This is a team sport. And there aren't multiple teams. We fight for everyone. We fight for everyone. You realize this is what they hated about Jesus, right? That's why they killed him. They wanted Jesus to fight people. They wanted Jesus to come in and fight the Romans. They wanted Jesus to overthrow Rome. But Jesus loved Rome too. And Jesus came in and he said, I don't just fight for some. I fight for all. So that no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, I'm coming to fight for you. I don't just fight for some. I fight for all. He says, you got to change your mentality. You got to change the way that you're thinking about this. You got to change who it is that you're fighting and what you think this fight is about. And then he begins to talk them through, okay, this is how you learn to fight. This is how you learn to fight. So some of you, when I told you the story about King of the Hill, you thought to yourself, man, where were your parents? You know where they were? About 10 feet away. And we come climbing out of that situation with our lip bleeding, our finger pointed the wrong direction, and we come crying, and our dads would look at us and say, really? You're going to let them take the hill? Really? Get back in there. If you come to my house, the floor of my boy's room is 2-inch thick wrestling mats. In the corner, I've got a 60-pound professional punching bag. And people look at that and say, what are you doing? I'm teaching my kids to fight. What do you mean you're teaching kids to fight? You see, you know what my parents understood? One day life was going to land a punch. and we needed to know how to get back up. One day there was going to come a call that was going to floor us, and we need to know how to persevere. One day something was going to happen in our marriages that was going to rock us, and they wanted to make sure that we wouldn't quit. That we knew how to fight, not to fight against people, but we knew how to fight. The people around you need you to know how to fight. Your friends need you to know how to fight. The people that you serve as a part of our family need you to know how to fight. He steps in and says, you got to change your mentality. You got to understand what it is that we fight. And then he begins to talk them through, okay, this is how you fight. Over the course of the summer, we're going to walk through, okay, how do we fight? Did you know that in the scriptures there's a hall of fame? Do you know that? Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is commonly referred to as the hall of fame of the scriptures. And in that passage, he walks through all of these different people who've come before them. And he talks about Abraham's faith, and he talks about David's faith, and he walks through all of these different individuals, and he talks about Moses, he talks about Samson, all these individuals, and it's literally referred to as the hall of fame of faith, of those who've come before. Now, the thing is, they didn't live for their own name, they lived for his name, but it's the hall of fame. And as he comes to the end of it, it's really interesting because as he comes to the end of it, he doesn't come to the end of it and say, man, you need to celebrate those people. He doesn't come to the end of it and say, man, aren't you impressed by those people? As a matter of fact, he doesn't give us the Hall of Fame for that reason at all. You know what he does when he comes to the end of it? He says, so now you live like you belong in there. He doesn't give it to us so that we will celebrate them. He gives it to us so that we will set our sights on something. That we would live our lives. He says, now live in light of the witnesses who've come before you. That you would live your lives to be in the Hall of Fame. To not just be okay at following Jesus, but to be great at following Jesus. Why? Because the people around you need you to fight for them. And they need to know that they can win too. And he calls us to take on the mindset of victory. I love the way that Paul says it in 1 Corinthians. He's talking to the Corinthians, and he says this. He says, don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to
win.
That was pretty sad. So run to
win.
Run to win. Where are you accepting defeat in your life? Where? Where have you just decided, I'm never going to be able to move past this? Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe you've just decided, no, you know what? I'm never going to be able to move past this addiction. You've just decided to settle. I'm never going to be able to actually learn to control my temper. I'm never going to actually learn how to be able to control my tongue and the things that I say to the people around me. Where have you settled for defeat? Jesus didn't suffer and die on that cross for you to lose. No, he did not. It's time to start winning. I want you to think about one area, that this summer, even though you've never won there before, this summer is the summer that you're going to win. One area, one thing, you say, now I'm going to walk away from that. I want you to put it somewhere where you're going to see it over and over and over again. We're going to spend a lot of time on this because it's so important. And we're going to learn how to fight. And we're going to fight to win. Will you pray with me? Father, as we look at what you're teaching us and what you're calling us to be strong in your mighty power, for some of us, it's hard to believe that that's possible. We've lost in this area so many times, we just don't know if we can do it. Father, I pray that you would begin to break down that lie. I pray that the truth, that the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead works powerfully within us, that truth would begin to develop in us an excitement and anticipation of faith that would drive us to follow you in how we fight, so that we might win. Not so that our name would be praised, but so that your name would be praised. Not so that we would be glorified, but so that the world would see the victory that's possible in you. In Jesus' name, amen.